Scripture last night, I've chosen to read from the fifth chapter of the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews, fifth chapter, beginning at verse 11. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. The strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms and of laying on of hands and of resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. And this will we do if God permit. This is Hebrews 5:11 through 6:3. In our studies from Hebrews, the section we read for you is in the section 5:1, Hebrews 5:1 to 10:18, on the priesthood of Christ. But this is a digression from that to talk for a little while about our need to grow and our need to go on unto perfection or maturity. It is plain that the cross-section in a church is similar to a cross-section of the human population. We have some infants, some children, some young people, some mature adults. We have some old in years, but immature otherwise. And Hebrews 5:11 through 6:3 is an exposition on this comparison of physical growth with spiritual growth. I can't tell you how many times when I was growing up that I heard preachers talk about this section of that we're talking about today. And they talked about the milk and the meat of the Word, and almost without exception, they talked about the milk being love and good works and all these things, but the meat was prophecy, and some of them had difficult texts and so forth in Scripture. But I have found in studying this that it's the other way around, that the milk of the Word is what we call the doctrine of the Bible, and the meat of the Word is how we ought to live. In other words, as a babe in Christ, or a babe even in our understanding and maturity in our lives, all of us can believe in such things that doesn't involve action, and that things that do not demand anything of us as far as growth and maturity. And so that's why we find when we study this section that that's just the way it is. The milk would be the first principles, 12th verse. When is the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the word of God, and are become such as have need of milk, not of strong meat. And it is amazing that children, very young children, can know the truth on certain things, but they still don't know how to live. I never will forget. I'm not going to brag on my son, but when he was little and barely old enough to talk, we would go by a cemetery and said, "They're all dead in that cemetery." He'd just start talking about how the nature of man is a... And he knew that, but that doesn't mean he was a good boy. He was a little devil, and still is. But He's like his dad. But anyway, what I'm saying is you can know these truths, but they don't involve living. They just involve what we understand in our minds. So when he goes on here, when he's talking about the meat, you notice it says, everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age or mature, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern or know the difference between good and evil. By reason of use, in other words, I think this using this word exercise is good, having their senses exercised, showing that it's being used in flexing our muscles and trying our strength and so on. So plainly, the milk is the first principles of the oracles of, or word of God. Then it goes on to say, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, this would be the same as the first principles, let us go on unto perfection or maturity, not laying again or laying over and over the foundation of repentance from dead works, faith toward God, baptism, laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. These are, he is listing as being the first principles, the milk of the word. And there are two inner experiences, two outward ceremonies, and two future things. They're all listed here as being first principles or part of the milk. Repentance, he names first. And in the scriptures, this means change of mind or reform. And this is something that comes before baptism. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, Peter told him on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2:38. And there are other places in the book of Acts where it talks about repenting and believing the gospel. When you dig into this, if you take your concordance sometime and look it up, you're going to find out that there are two main words translated repent in the New Testament. One has to do with change of mind and reform, and the other one has to do with pain of mind and regret. And there are good examples of this. Judas Iscariot, when he had betrayed Jesus and had received the money, he took it back. He realized that Jesus was going to die, and he took it back, and they wouldn't take it. He said he repented himself and went out, hanged himself. Well, we all know he didn't change his mind. He had pain of mind or regret, and the only thing he knew was to take his own life. There's another one very well known. It's given. It was the story of Esau, how that Jacob received he sold his birthright. That would be the spiritual leadership of the family, and then he was also beat out of the blessing, or which was monetary. And it says that he found no way to change his mind, though he sought it carefully with tears. That's what it reads. But what does it mean? He found no way to change his father's mind, though he sought the inheritance carefully with tears. In other words, repentance or change of mind or change of life or reform is not necessarily accompanied with tears as far as change. But this is an inner experience. It's listed here as being one of the foundations, one of the first principles. And indeed, it is used over and over in the New Testament preceding baptism. Faith toward God is the next one he listed. And this means trusting in God, not in our own righteousness, not in our own works, but trusting in God. It also has the meaning of belief and knowledge. So this is, these are some of the different meanings. In other words, when you look it up in your concordance, it also has those meanings too. So we know that faith toward God is one of the first principles. Hebrews 11th chapter said, "He that cometh God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." That's the sixth verse of the 11th chapter of Hebrews. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. You have to come to Him in faith, believing. Then also in the first principles are two outward ceremonies, baptism, which is plainly laid out in the scriptures as following repentance and confession. We don't know it. A lot of people don't know it, but when they use the word baptized, they're speaking Greek. That word was never translated in the scriptures. It was always just transferred over into the English language. It means to dip or immerse or to dye, D-Y-E. And so it is requested of us in our first principles belief is to realize that we have to be immersed in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. As far as a given text that is so meaningful in this is the sixth chapter of the book of Romans. And he uses the word death. He uses burial, planting, crucifixion, and all these having to do with our giving up the past and giving our lives to God so that we, in a sense, are raised from the dead to live a new life right now, looking forward to the time of the resurrection when it will be literally a resurrection from the dead to new life. Immersion is not too convenient, and most churches have given it up. They sprinkle or pour, but they don't want to immerse. The next of the outward ceremonies is laying on of hands. This is an interesting ceremony or concept. I've never done it personally. I think there are too many misunderstandings relating to it. But it is an outward sign signifying the laying on of responsibility. We find different times in the book of Acts when they sent forth missionaries, it said that they laid their hands on them. And it was not, some people get the idea that you're laying hands on them for them to get the gift of the Holy Ghost or something of this sort. But that's not what it's about. It was the laying on of responsibility. And in a sense, all of us have this laying on of responsibility. If we become an officer or even a Christian or a member of the church, we have responsibility in Christ. The text I was trying to notice to read for you was Acts 13, 2 and 3, when they sent forth Saul and Barnabas, and it talks about them laying on hands on them, fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them and sent them away into this missionary journey. So he had two inner things, two outward ordinances, baptism, laying on hands, and also included in the first principles are two future things. And the question that we ask ourselves, are you sure this is milk? Yes, it is. It's simple belief, no practice involved directly. But resurrection, we know to be the raising of the dead. In fact, the word itself is so significant. It says to rise up and stand on one's feet again. How much better to explain resurrection than to talk about rising up to stand on one's feet again? And this is what resurrection means. God is living, and He can give life to the dead. 1 Corinthians 15 is wholly given to resurrection, comparing the force of Jesus' resurrection with our resurrection. And how important that is. We believe He died and rose again. We believe also that sleep in Jesus, that God will lead forth in His time. This is the thing that can cause the Christian to have strength and faith and hope when we lose a loved one, is to realize that they will rise again and we will see them in the kingdom. Another one is judgment. We believe from 1 Corinthians 5:24 that our sins are going beforehand unto judgment, that we're being judged every day. But there is still also a future judgment. In fact, the 14th of Romans, the 10th verse, says that we shall all stand at the judgment seat of Christ. This is an interesting word. If you like to do word studies, look this up. It's the word Bema, B-E-M-A. And what it was the reward seat on the Olympics. So after the race, after all these different activities, whoever won the prize came to the Bema seat to receive the laurel. And so it was good. This was a blessing, and it was good. But there is another judgment. Revelation, the 20th chapter, the 15th verse, talks about the sea giving up the dead, death in the grave, giving up the dead. And they were all judged according to their works. Those who were found unworthy were cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. So those two judgments are ahead. We're being judged now, daily, but then there is a future reward of the righteous at the Bema seat of Christ, and judgment and destruction of the wicked at the judgment seat of God. The thing that He is asking us in this section in the book of Hebrews is, we've been on milk. We're babes in Christ. We've been on milk, but we need to get on to the strong meat. We need to get on to the having our senses exercised to know the difference between good and evil. We need to leave the principles of the doctrine of Christ and go on to perfection. The Greek word there is maturity. In other words, not going on as babes. In fact, that's one of the things that we try to bring out to people in regard to Christmas. Jesus was born. We see Him as this wonderful, lovely babe in His mother's arms, but He's not a babe anymore. He has been raised. He lived a mature and perfect life and has been elevated to the right hand of God to make intercession for us. He's no longer a babe. We're not to go on forever as babes. We're not to forever go on merely in the first principles of the doctrine of Christ or the first principle of the oracles of God. We're supposed to go on beyond this into the meat. In other words, those are immature actions, and immature thinking goes along with being just on milk and not growing up. 1 Corinthians 3 is a text that talks about immature actions. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 3. Brethren, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, or fleshly. For whereas there is among you envying, and strife, and division, are ye not carnal, and walk as men? They were even bragging about who baptized them. And He said, that's not the important thing. The important thing is to have faith in Christ and to get into Him by baptism. It's not who baptized you. But what he's saying here is they had immature actions and carnal actions that were a symbol or a sign that they were still on milk and were babes and had not matured. It makes me sad when I see immature actions in the church, and I see immature actions among our ministers. And I feel it as it's bad. I lived in Morristown, Tennessee, and there were over 50 churches. 39 of them were all of the same denomination. They split regularly and got mad at each other and went off and started another church. The worst one I ever heard, on the day of dedication of a new church, the deacons changed the locks on the church and locked the preacher out. That beat all I've ever heard. But anyway, that actually happened in Morristown, Tennessee. Anyway, what I'm talking about, in other words, when you go into those works of the flesh that we talked about the other week there in Galatians 5:17 and on to the fruits, you see that there are differences. The one is me, my, mine, big I. I'm the one that's important. The other is you, yours, theirs, and having an interest in other people and their condition and their faith and their possessions and everything that you want the best for them. And that is a result of maturity. The little children, before they learn to give and take and to share, can be very selfish. But the crowning glory of all Christian living is love. And by this I'm referring to high love, agape, which is, as Paul said in the book of Colossians, the crown or bond of perfectness. You read that in the third of Colossians, and in the 14th verse, it actually talks about this. Above all these things, put on agape, love, which is the bond of maturity. It went on and named the things that they should do, the bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so do ye. Above all these things, put on high love, which is the bond of perfectness. So, this is what it's talking about. This is the meat of the word. This is not the milk of the word. This is the meat of the word. This is, he's gone through the milk and he's come to the hard part. And that is putting into practice the things that we know are right from the word of God. Maturity is attainable in strong faith, joyful patience, and overflowing love. Of course, we know that none of us will be perfect until made perfect in the kingdom of God. We are asked to leave the principles, or leave the first principles. And there was a quotation that I found. I can't even tell you where I found it. It's signed C. Stanford. Leaving the first principles. In what sense are we to leave the first principles of the doctrine of Christ? We are to leave them as the scholar leaves the letters of the alphabet, leaving them only to use them. We are to leave them as the plant leaves the root when it towers into a majestic tree, leaving it only that it may be more, that we may more depend upon it, and day by day drawing from it. We are to leave it as a builder leaves the foundation that he may carry up the building, basement to sunlit pinnacle, always leaving the foundation, yet always on it, and on it with the most massive pressure and the most complete dependence when most he leaves it. I think that is a wonderful quotation. We don't abandon the first principles. We don't forsake the first principles. We build on them. We go on from them, from these inner, from these inner experiences, repentance and faith, from these outward ceremonies, baptism and laying on of hands, and future things, resurrection and judgment, and among others, to go on to maturity, to live, and to build upon these first principles. Some people want only milk. They don't want to hear how we need to live. It's not good. It's not cozy. It's not comfortable. Not sweet to hear our faults and our failings, but we need to look in the mirror and see ourselves as we are. The way I see this, we must begin, in other words, babes, we must begin, but we must grow up. We cannot stay always babes in Christ. So we, as it says here, we leave them to go on to perfection or maturity. Thank you.